Hello friends, the next topic of the chapter, the neoclassical school of poetry. Introduction. Generally, the period between 1680 and 1750 is called the Augustan age in English literature. For frequent comparison were made between the literary activity of the England of this period and that of the Rome of Emperor Augustus, which produced such poetic genius as Virgil, Horace, Ovid and many others. Dr. Johnson, in his characteristic way, said that Dryden did for English poetry what Augustus had done for the city of Rome. In inverted comma, the found it brick and left it marble, inverted comma closed, Dryden and Pope were the greatest poet of the Augustan age. They consensuously looked to the writer of Greek and Roman antiquity for guidance and inspiration. However, most of all, they are influenced by the Roman poet of the age of Augustus. They discredited the tradition for the descendant metaphysical and established a new school of poetry, which had since come to be known as the neoclassical school of English poetry. Though something had already been done before Dryden by Denham and Waller, yet much was left to be done by Dryden himself and still later by Pope. The neoclassicism of Dryden and Pope was representative of the spirit of the age. The Restoration age marked the close of the genuine romanticism of the Elizabethan period and also the descendant romanticism of the Jacobean and Caroline period. The creative imagination, exuberant fancy and the extravagance of the past had no appeal for an age which saw the establishment of royal society and inauguration of a new era of experimental science. A critical spirit was abhorred and men stopped taking things for granted. The spirit of the age was analytic and an inquisitive and synthetic and naively credulous. It put a greater stress on reason and intellect than on passion and imagination. The neoclassical poetry of Dryden, Pope and their contemporaries was a manifestation of the new spirit. Respect for the ancients. Kazemian observed in inverted comma, the literary transition from the Renaissance to the Restoration is nothing more or less than the progressive movement of a spirit of liberty at once fanciful, brilliant and adventurous toward a rule and discipline both in inspiration and in form. Inverted comma closed. The neoclassicists were champions of common sense and reason and were in favor of normal generalities against the whim and eccentricities of individual genius. These normal generalities went under the term nature. Pope's advice to writers was the follow nature. Curiously enough, the slogan of Rousseau and the English romantic poet like Wordsworth and Coleridge who react against the school of Pope was also the same. But nature for the romantics means something entirely different. Primitive simplicity and the world of forest, flower, birds, stream, etc. Dryden and Pope laid special stress on the imitation of the ancients and the observation of the rules formulated or adhered to by them. For the rules of ancient were, in the words of Pope, nature still but nature methodized. A neoclassical poet abundantly translated and adapted classical work. Thus Dryden gave a verse translation of Virgil and Pope of Homer. These translations did not literally adhere to their original. Thus Blantyre observed that Pope's translation of Homer was a good poem, but it was not Homer. What is more important than literal fidelity, however, is the attempt and capturing the spirit of the original. And this Dryden and Pope did pretty well. Even the original work of the English neoclassicists have rich echoes of classical writers. Influence of the French neoclassicist. The neoclassical school of Dryden and Pope was much influenced by the neoclassical French school of the age of Louis XIV, which goes down in history as a golden or Augustan age of French literature. According to W. H. Hudson in an outline History of English Literature in inverted comma. The contemporary literature of France was characterized by lucidity, vivacity, and by reason of the close attention given to form, correctness, elegance, and fineness. It was, moreover, a literature in which intellect was in ascendant and the critical faculty always in control. Inverted comma closed. It was a literature of good sense and regularity and order. One of the important tenets of the French New Classical criticism was the theory of kinds and gen or genre. Traditional criticism in the age of Dryden and Pope also worked through a reverent attention to these genres, which the French critic had derived from the classics Aristotle, and the good hit of all criticism for the neoclassicist had dealt with only two genres, epic and tragedy. But by the middle of the 17th century, many more genres come to be recognized and fit style for them came to be fixed. The appropriateness of the style to the genre, the principle of decorum, came to be exalted to a veritable shibboleth. A hierarchy of genre found its establishment. John Dennis, in 1704, spoke for his age in the ground of criticism in poetry. They divided all genre into high and low groups, the first group comprising epic, tragedy, and greater lyrical poetry, that is the Pindaric ode, and the other comedy and satire, the little ode, and elegiac and pastoral poem. It is the interest to note that the ancient had to offer a new example of the genre of mock epic. The English poets adopt this important genre from the French neoclassicist. The most influential mock epic was Bellio Le Lautrin, which provided a model for such excellent English mock epic as Dryden Mac Flecknoe, Gross Dispensary, and Pope's Rape of the Lock, and Seven, and even the Denunciad. Realism, Didacticism, and Satire. Much of romantic poetry is marked by an egregious lack of realism, amounting at times to sheer escapism. Classicism, on the other hand, put especially emphasis on concrete reality and aim preeminently at edification and improvement of the reader. That is why much of classical poetry is realistic, didactic, and satiric. Almost all classical poets were men of action, very much in the thick of life and its pressing affair. They wrote with a very clear and concrete purpose, not just for the fun of it or for fulfilling a pressing necessity of self-revelation. Political, religious, and even personal satire became in the Augustan era the vogue of the day. If the neoclassical poet was not satiric, he was at least sure to be didactic. It is very rarely that we come across in this age such a poem as Pope's Eloisa to Abelard, which is a poem without a purpose, aiming neither at instruction nor at ridicule nor chastisement, so satire. To quote some instance, Dryden, Absalom and Achitophel and the Medal are political satire, and his Mac Flecknoe a personal satire. Pope's most important poems like the Denunciad, the Rape of the Lock, and the Epistle of Arbuthnot are all satire. Most of the rest of his poem, like his moral essay, are didactic in aim. A subject in which neoclassical poets showed much brilliance was dullness, and dullness of some specific rival of collective dullness of all of them put together. The Denunciad and the Mock Flecknoe show how dullness can serve as a target of brilliant satire. Some of neoclassical poems are too much topical in nature, and all of them are full of contemporary reference, and they need exhaustive annotation to become comprehensible to the reader of today, who is unfamiliar with the atmosphere out of which this poem grew and which was very well known to the reader of the age. The poem of the Romantics, on the other hand, are largely free from contemporary references. For the Romantic poet, generally speaking, is not a man of action and a fair of scholarly lives on in the common humdrum earth. He lives instead in a world of his own fancy with magic casement opening on the foam, oh perilous seas and fairy land forlorn. Was the society. On explanation for the realism of neoclassical poetry is that the neoclassical poet wrote as a civilized man speaking to other civilized men, not like a romantic poet, an airy voice speaking from the clouds. The works of neoclassical poet were appraised not in literary journal but in drawing room and coffee house. Neoclassical poetry then is what the French call was the society. The aim of the neoclassical poet was not only self-revelation but arguing and convincing with the help of either real logic or rhetoric, which has been called specious logic. Satire also came in handy for the purpose, being in all respect a normal member of the community. The neoclassical poet made it a point to write poems on festive or important public occasions, such as coronation of a king, the recovery from illness of a dignity, a national victory in a battle, and so on. Dryden's Astraea Redux commemorated the coronation of Charles II. His Annus Mirabilis, Annus Mirabilis, had for its theme the Great Fire of 1666 and the defeat of the Dutch fleet in the same year. His medal was occasioned by a reaction against the jubilance of the Whig at the release of the Earl of Shaftesbury in 1681. And their striking a medal in his honor. Additions, the campaign was written in commemorate the Allies' victory in the Battle of Belenham. Much of Swift's poetry is also occasional in nature. Pope's Rape of the Lock and some other poems also got started off by one real happening or another. Being worse the society, it is natural for neoclassical poetry to be town poetry or even drawing room poetry, having the little contact with the barbarous world of nature, which to some romantics appealed as a deity and to all as a source of inspiration and a perennial theme for poetry. About these aspects of neoclassical poetry, W.H. Hudson observed, "It is almost exclusive a town poetry made out of the interests of society in the great center of culture. The humbler aspect of life are neglect in it, and it shows no real love of nature, landscape or country thing and people. The neoclassicists were averse to the description of natural beauty, however appealing. Pope in his maturity disapproved of his earlier poem Winds or Forest, because in it, to quote himself, mere description held the place of sense. No imagination or passionate lyricism. Being cultured men of society, neoclassical poets held all passion as suspect, as something primitive and uncultured. Lyricism therefore declined and very few good lyrics were produced in the age of Dryden and Pope. Dryden did write a few good lyrics, but they too are classical in spirit, for in them he was fully objective and rigorously correct. He never gave a free play to his emotion. In neoclassical poetry, wit and intellect to the place of passion and imagination. It is only now and then that the neoclassical poet deals with human passion, as for instance Pope in his Eloisa and Abelard. Pope mostly dealt with poetry as if it were just an intellectual exercise to please himself and his friends and to frighten his enemy. He liked such poetic toys as acrostic, puzzle, pun, anagrams and so on, which showed his intellect and art rather than any deep poetic passion or inspiration. For instance, consider the following couplet by him, which are expressive of wit rather than romantic poetry. Fairy. Epigram engraved on the collar of a dog which I gave to His Royal Highness. I am His Highness' dog at new. Pray, tell me, sir, whose dog are you? You bit your pet, and fancy wit will come. Knock as you please, there's nobody at home. Epitaph. Here Francis' character lies with civil. The rest God knows, perhaps the devil. The balance of Europe, now Europe balanced, neither side prevailed. For nothing left in either of the scales. Expression or the heroic couplet. The neoclassical poet put a special premium upon beautiful and effective expression. He did not mind even if the thought sought to be expressed was subtle, as poet puts it. True wit is nature of advantage dressed, what of what taught but never so well expressed. The heroic couplet became with neoclassics classic poets the most favored of verse measured. It was Dryden who took his measure from Weller and Denham and polished it into a very effective medium of narrative and satiric poetry. It was left for Pope to perfect the heroic couplet and to employ it as the effective expression for all kinds of poetry. R.P.C. Mitter and Kinkead Vicus observe in the reduction of a selected poem and letters of Alexander Pope from Dryden's extremely varied achievement in the heroic couplet, Pope learned how it could be made following and easy or packed and concise, how it could be wittily antithetical and tenderly elegiac. Whereas new classical poets expressed themselves mostly in the heroic couplet or such recognized measures as the heroic stanza, making exception for the irregular and intricate measure of the so-called Pindaric Ode. Romantic poet revived a large number of stanzaic patterns and invented many on their own. In the age of Dryden and Pope, much stress was laid on the contractedness of sentiment and form, and the heroic couplet, with all its neatness and precision, embodied well the desired correctness of form. The topic, Neoclassical School of Poetry, over.